The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Before the Obamas, many of the top speakers at the convention focused on Harris's opponent as well. Fox tracking of the eight major speakers at the second night of the convention, like the Obamas, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Senator Bernie Sanders, and others, tallied 24 mentions of Trump compared to less than a dozen total on other major issues like the economy, border, and crime.
Kellyanne, I'm so confused because you keep seeing these polls that Kamala Harris is doing so well, and then you just go out in the street, you talk to anybody, the African-American community, the people that we talk to, they're not fans.
How are you feeling about the election?
I'm going for Trump. I feel like every time they don't want somebody who is good for us to win, they throw somebody black in our face thinking that's going to like make us vote for the black person.
I voted for Obama because he was black. I don't want to vote for her because she's the first black woman to run for president or to win.
I don't vote.
Well, I want Donald Trump. I'm sorry. I want Donald Trump.
Why do you apologize?
Well, I know nobody likes him, but we had good times with Donald Trump.
I'm running for Trump, so.
You are?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why?
Yeah. I don't know. I just always been a fan of his, so that's what I'm running for.
I used to be against Trump. I used to live in Virginia. I saw the bad side of it, but really moving to Cleveland, but I saw the other side of it.
I'm supporting Trump.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Because?
Because it has to change.
Yeah.
It has to change, and now I vote more for what fits me better as a person rather than voting for the black person or voting for the first woman. So,
what do you think about Kamala Harris?
I think they say she's phony and fake, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, I'm like Trump saying, you know, what are you, you know? So I'm not feeling her. People get mad about it. I'm just not feeling her.
I don't like her the way she speaks, the giddiness, the laughing. Everything's a joke, and it's not a joke. We're in trouble.
I'm going for Trump. Kamala was on Biden's team, and I don't like Biden. Gas wasn't this high when Trump was our president. Food wasn't this high. I'm going for Trump.
There's two options that we're looking at, and one is staying in, forming that new party, but we run the risk of a Kamala Harris and Walt's presidency because we draw votes from Trump, or we draw somehow more votes from Trump, or we walk away right now and join forces with Donald Trump, and you know, we walk away from that and we explain to our base why we're making this decision.
That last bit there, that's the VP pick for RFK Jr. And there's some question as to whether he's peeling away votes from the Democrats or the Republicans. Sundance over at Conservative Treehouse suggests that it's maybe hurting Trump. But there she is. What's her name again? Nicole Shanahan. So, and I think she's more progressive. She's from the West Coast. She's more progressive than RFK. But she suggested yesterday that they may drop out of the race and endorse Trump. And some of the polling, I mean, they're actually getting pretty good numbers as a spoiler anyway. 5, 6, 7, 8%. If they drop out and then endorse Trump, this is all happening. I know the Obamas spoke at the convention. And we've got highlights of that coming up very soon. But this happened on the same day. Is Obama getting the sense that he's losing his control over power? I think you saw that to some degree in his speech last night. Same with his wife. That and much more to get to on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show every weekday morning at 11:05 a.m. in the Central Time Zone of the United States. That's at TrumpetDaily.com, or just go to the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. If you go to Rumble, give us the thumbs up or leave a message down below, or join in. If you watch live, join in on the live chat as well. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. So, Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, both the featured speakers last night. lots of things to think about and to consider. For one, Joe Biden's gone. They put him on the first night of the convention. He's off in California. And then Kamala, she's 90 miles away campaigning with Tim Walz. And then you've got the Obamas sort of featured there. And of course, last night's when they had the roll call for the delegates and all that. And I know they had the video link for Kamala where she was campaigning. I forget where it was. I think somewhere in Michigan. But in any event, I talked to you about all of these fake, false narratives yesterday on the show, including the one that, hey, we're all unified. We're all together in this. And here you've got the Obamas, you've got the Bidens, and you've got the Harrises or Kamala, all in different locations. I guess Kamala's husband did speak at the convention last night. But still, it's not quite as unified as some are suggesting. Is the dear leader sensing that he's losing control, not just of the Democrat Party, but losing control of the presidency? It's like Jesse said there in that cold open. You know, you see these polls now, and evidently everything just changed on a dime, and now Kamala's as popular as any president or candidate in history. I mean, you still get all this bloviating going on. Rachel Maddow, seriously, after Michelle speaks last night, I think it's the best convention speech in the history of politics. Really? The last of the swooners. Because you go out on the street and what do you see? Well, even Don Lemon, just random people. I think that was either Atlantic City, New Jersey, maybe Chicago. I forget. It's a big city. A lot of the minorities. Yeah, who are you voting for? Well, I'm voting for Donald Trump. I'm sorry to say I'm voting for Donald Trump. Well, why are you apologizing? Here's a response she might have given. Because you've said he's Hitler for the last 8 years? The majority, you can tell just by looking at feedback on feeds of the Dear Leader speaking, YouTube or whatever else the platform might be. There's always some swooners in the mix. But there are more people that are saying things like, he's a traitor. He hates his country. He's the problem. They're saying that now much, much more so than they ever did in 2016. Certainly much more than they ever did in 2009 and 10. He could do no wrong. I mean, you think about how this book begins, America Under Attack. It talks about the media, the regime media, swooning before the dear leader. And something even about his speech last night. Quite a bit different, I think. I mean, we follow it a lot. You know, those long, pregnant pauses where he kind of, the arrogance, where he tilts his head up and then looks down his nose at the audience. Not as many of those last night. The speech itself, I think 35 minutes. But also much angrier. I mean, usually we're used to the angel of light. He's above the fray. He'll talk about Trump and the MAGA movement, but it's going to be a little bit subtle. He's not going to mention Trump by name, but as you heard there in the cold open, now it's Trump, Trump, Trump. They can sense what you can sense. They're exposed. They're being exposed. The VP pick for RFK sees it. She sees the political thuggery. Listen to what she continued to say in that podcast that she was on just yesterday. Again, this is RFK's VP pick, Nicole Shanahan, clip two.
I did not put in tens of millions of dollars to be a spoiler candidate. I put in tens of million dollars to win, to fix this country, to do the right thing. I will say that Clear Choice, this PAC, this DNC-aligned PAC that was created specifically to take us out, has spent millions of dollars to take us out. They have, unfortunately, turned us into a spoiler. And we don't want to be a spoiler. We wanted to win. We wanted a fair shot. The DNC made that impossible for us. They have banned us, shadow banned us, kept us off stages, manipulated polls, used lawfare against us, sued us in every possible state, They've even planted insiders into our campaign to disrupt it and to create actual legal issues for us. I mean, the extent by which the sabotage they've unleashed upon us, it's mind-blowing. I mean, we're still learning new ways that they have sabotaged us. I really wanted a fair shot at this election, and I believed in the America that I, a little girl, pledged an allegiance to. And that is not where we are today, and it's not because of the Republican Party taking us out. It is exclusively because of the Democratic Party taking us out. And I am so disappointed I ever helped them. I am so disappointed that I helped Chuck Schumer in that Georgia runoff secure a majority. It's probably one of the biggest mistakes of my life.
Add her to an ever-growing list of progressives, celebrities, athletes in some cases, Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg even, praised Donald Trump for the fight, fight, fight gesture after he was nearly assassinated. And then here comes this West Coast progressive saying this is on the DNC solely. They're trying to blot out, censor, take him to court, keep him off the ballot, throw him in jail. Does that sound familiar? It sounds familiar if you're supporting MAGA. And evidently, she and RFK are considering endorsing MAGA. So you hear the talking heads. Oh, this is the best speech ever in the history of conventions. You hear the fake polls. She even drew attention to that, this gal. Yeah, they're putting out fake polls. She can see what more and more people can see, that what she's going up against are communist agitators. They're infiltrators. They're traitors, pure and simple. And if you stand against them, even ever so slightly, they will come after you and destroy you. And she sees that's what they're trying to do with RFK's campaign. RFK, of course, he had to split away from the Democrat Party because they wouldn't let him in. They were going to treat him like Bernie Sanders back in 2016. You're not the one. It's going to be Hillary. And then 2020, the rest of you, you're not going to be the one. These people are anti-democracy through and through. They don't want RFK on the ballot in New York or otherwise. Nowhere. They don't want him to get a voice out there. They want to crush him. And when you talk about all of these treasonous tactics, these communist tactics backfiring in a spectacular way. Well, here could be yet another. If Donald Trump's campaign, if he gets millions of votes, particularly in swing states, because RFK says, yeah, I'm behind Donald Trump. RFK tweeted out yesterday, as always, I am willing to talk with leaders of any political party to further the goals I have served for 40 years in my career and in this campaign. These are, listen to these goals. They're very Trumpian, some of them, most of them. Reversing the chronic disease epidemic, ending the war machine, cleaning corporate influence out of government and toxic pollution out of the environment, protecting freedom of speech, and ending politicization of enforcement agencies. The weaponization of the DOJ, the FBI, I think he might have a lot in common with Donald Trump. Listen to Donald Trump. Yeah, evidently, this is the first time he's asked this, but a reporter says, hey, in light of what RFK said today and the suggestion that they may bow out and throw support behind your campaign, could you see room for him perhaps on your cabinet? Listen to Trump's response, clip 3.
Can I ask you about RFK? Because just moments ago, his running mate said that they were considering endorsing you. Have you considered him for a role in the administration, and what role would that be?
Well, we haven't, but I would love that endorsement because I've always liked him.
Would you also consider putting him in the administration?
You're asking me a very unusual question. I haven't been asked that question yet. I like him a lot. I respect him a lot. I probably would if something like that would happen.
You make him Fauci's boss, and Fauci's going to go, he's going to go and disappear somewhere. RFK has no love for Fauci or Big Pharma. I think there might be some room in a Trump administration for someone like him. I mean, I'm just looking at it politically. Our main concern here on this program is God's perspective. We know God, we know Jeroboam is coming back, and we know the Antiochus is going to lose his grip on power and that he will be diminished, if not blotted out entirely. So they may talk and talk and talk about how brilliant and nuanced and subtle and wonderful the speeches are, or how unified they all are. But just look at what you see with your eye. I mean, just look at what's happening outside the convention center. You've got Antifa. Look at the position the Democrats are in. In 2020, they had to come and throw their support behind Antifa because that was their base. That was the radical left. And Kamala and company, they had to appeal to them. Now Antifa's surrounding the United Center saying, hey, we got to support Hamas. We've got to hate some of them Jews. So these Democrats, I mean, Emhoff himself is a Jew, as he said in his speech last night. I think people are just looking at what's happening thinking, you know what? It seems like chaos and disorder and division and strife and hatred is really being projected by the Democrat Party through and through. You can play some of that footage of the protesting going on. Just leave me up alongside of it. But look at what's happening outside. And here again, this is a clip 14. The regime media is covering this up. They don't want to show these pictures. I mean, Fox did a little bit last night, but outside of that, no, just cover it up and just say, hey, whether it's Obama, Harris, the Bidens, everybody's totally unified. No, as I said yesterday, there's a lot of hatred and division, even within the party. And then you see what's going on outside, the clashes with police. Why aren't the police just stepping aside? That's what they did in 2020. Hey, let them burn down the United Center, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? These are protesters. Their voice needs to be heard. What a system. It's a worldly system. It makes you think of Jeremiah 17. There is no hope in man. No hope. Here's Obama, just like Harris is going to do Thursday night, no doubt, saying, yeah, we need Harris so she can fix all these problems. Fix all these problems? Where have you been? You've had your puppet there in power for 3.5 years. To listen to the dear leader last night actually talk about a secure border, it's unbelievable. You can hardly stomach it. To listen to these people talk and talk and talk about lowering crime in the streets, they're fueling the madness. And more people, just ordinary Joes, even in the minority community, they see it. They see what's happening. And Don Lemon's even taking a nicer tone. Hey, why are you apologizing for supporting Trump? Well, because we've been told he's the Hitler of our time, and we're supposed to hate him. You know, as an aside here, let me tilt my head ever so slightly to the right. Let me go off prompter, and maybe I'll miss an assassin's bullet. But as an aside, just this tells you a lot about the regime media. Don Lemon leaves, or is fired, I guess, depending on how you look at it. Chris Cuomo, you know, and all of a sudden, it's like we discover that they actually have a few brain cells left. They actually have a more balanced perspective. I mean, they're still radical leftists, but at least in Cuomo's case, and now he did go to another TV station, I forget what it was, but the rest that go the independent route. I mean, look at Tucker. Tucker was conservative before he left, but then look at what he said about Big Pharma, about the vaccine, about the stolen election, all things that he could not say when he was trapped inside the big corporate media bubble. You could say the same for Megyn Kelly. She's hit the nail on the head, much more so than she did when she was trapped inside the Fox organization. All of these, like that one show we did a long time ago, brought to you by Pfizer. How many of those commercials that run on those networks are coming from Big Pharma paying tens of millions of dollars? All the special interests, the lobbyists, and so on. It shows you just how refreshing a program such as this is in the world of so much noise, where Satan's just jammed the frequency. Just a lot, as I said earlier, a lot of people bloviating on. They're supposed to. They're part of the regime. Rachel Maddow's one of the chief propagandists, so of course she's going to say that about Michelle. They still swoon, but like I said to the guys this morning, they are the last of the swooners. They're not going to go down without a fight. They're going to keep swooning. But a lot more people are going to keep turning them off. Now, I'm going to go with Trump this time. Those are the people on the street. So forget about the fake polls. You've got RFK's campaign. He's to the point of suspending his campaign. I mean, the road is, you know, the other thing that kind of jumped out at me last night is I thought, okay, Biden, he's got Monday night and he's gone. You're never going to hear from him again, at least not this week, when everything's about the convention and the Democrats are unified and these are brilliant speeches and she's got the momentum and so on. I mean, this is the high water mark. They came out with the fake polls, the fawning coverage. They've had a month to do it. But now reality's going to set in. Now there's going to have to be a debate. Now she's going to have to sit down with an actual reporter and have a discussion. Everything to this point has just been so carefully scripted. Just I don't know if we have it nearby. You guys can pull it up if you find it. It's the Jamie Raskin clip from yesterday that we have for the show. I didn't have time to play it, but it was laugh out loud funny as you watch Raskin. He's making his big point. He's the serial liar in those committees, Jan 6 and otherwise. He gets to the point where there's a little bit of a malfunction on the teleprompter. And look at what happens. If you guys have it, play that.
Remember what the mob chanted as they stormed the Capitol and injured our officers? Hang Mike Pence. Someone should have told Donald Trump that the president's job under Article 2 of the Constitution
let's see, teleprompter. Someone get rid of the prompter. How about that? Listen, I need notes. I bring them with me. I can't even get up and speak with a device. An iPad. I don't trust it. So I'm going to go old school till the day I die. Bring a few sheets of paper. Go a little bit off script. Trump does it. It saved his life. But these people, they're just all robots. They're droids. And if the teleprompter malfunctions, that's what you get there. All of a sudden, the cat's got his tongue. He doesn't know what to say. It's perfect, isn't it? It's just perfect. What a perfect illustration of what we're receiving on a daily basis. Just a steady diet of it. Perfectly scripted. Perfectly covering up. The hot mess that's everywhere around us, the raging dumpster fires. But now we're at a point where you cannot ignore those dumpster fires. They're happening around everybody. It's like that lady on the street said, look, when Trump was in there, groceries were cheaper and so was gas for the car. And Trump, for his part, I mean, he's saying all the right things. He said there he likes RFK. Yesterday, he talked about how much respect he has for Obama. I think, again, he's trying to lay low, let the Democrats do their thing. And really, just the people they're inviting, the celebrity circus that it was yesterday during roll call. And then all of these you know, AOC sounding like Mussolini or something. Just crazy. And then the anger coming from the Obamas. Yeah, the party of joy. Remember that one 2 seconds ago? Ooh, we're just projecting joy. And of course, the talking heads, they listened to the Obamas last night, and they hear what they want to hear. So much joy. No. A lot of anger, a lot of hostility. Obama, the dear leader, saying, we got to prepare for a fight. A fight? You can't use those words. Trump can't. He can't use bloodbath when he's talking about the economy. So how is the dear leader able to say fight? I even saw the headline. It's later in my notes. This is, what was the publication? This was The Atlantic. One of our news gatherers found the story. The title was, The Obamas Are Ready to Fight. So I thought, well, I'll go check that link and look at the original source. And by the time I got there, it was, The Democrats Aren't on the High Road Anymore. So they even changed, they watered down the title. There you see it. They watered down the title some, because they know. Well, listen, we've been awfully hard on Donald Trump for talking about fighting or bloodbath or anything else. He said fight, 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 but really that wasn't so good. I mean, that kind of that whips up the base into anger and rage. Obama called for a fight. There you go. And then there's The Atlantic. Just trying to cover for him a little bit. Just coming back to this point about unity. Obama's in Chicago. Kamala's 90 miles away. This is when the roll call happens. She gets the nomination. And then, of course, the Biden's in California. You know what else? And I know I'm running out of time where I'm not even going to get around to the Obama speeches. But the other thing I thought about last, the roll call has happened. The Obamas are probably out of town now. They're gone. I was just thinking as the dear leader's speech ended last night, I thought, okay, I guess it really is Kamala. There's no shenanigans that can happen from here on out. She got the nomination. So she's got to somehow pull this off over the next 78, 79 days. They are, in other words, they're stuck with Kamala Harris, the most unpopular candidate for president just 4 years ago. So we'll see how this pans out. Judging by the people on the street, it's not looking so good for the dear leader. Does he sense that he's losing his grip on power? I think he is. I think he is. I think you can see it in his eyes. I think you can see it or hear it in his tone, his mannerisms, his gesture. Maybe we're reading a little too much into it. But now there's more talk about Trump being the problem, Trump being a threat to democracy. This is coming from the dear leader now, and how that we're going to have to fight. Are they preparing for an actual fight? For violence? There's violence going on outside the United Center. These are Obama's foot soldiers. And the Democrat Party is having a hard time trying to figure out, okay, how do we, you know, secure our facility? But yet also, I mean, yeah, the pro-Hamas wing of our party, I mean, we kind of need them in Michigan. Unity, unity, unity. Unity and joy. Listen to what J.D. Vance had to say about this point, unity, clip 5.
When you have Barack Obama, the former Democratic president of the United States, sitting there and making his big speech, and Kamala Harris is 90 miles away, I think it suggests that their party's not especially unified. Of course, we know that Barack Obama is one of the people who really forced Joe Biden out of the race to begin with. So I think that the conflict is actually buried beneath the surface, but is there for all to see. And I think just for the American people, I mean, you ask yourself, what is the Democratic Party about in this country in 2024? It's clearly about their hatred of Donald Trump more than their love for America. They talked about Trump more than they talked about inflation, more than they talked about their foreign policy achievements, more than they talked about the economy. I think that suggests the thing that really unites the Democratic Party is not any shared vision for how they want to advance this country. It's their hatred of one person, a person who, by the way, took a bullet for this country just a few short weeks ago.
Their hatred for one person. He's exactly right. I mean, if you want to boil it down to two points on the agenda, hate Trump and abortion. We love aborting babies. Well, see how far that gets you this time around. I hate Trump and I love aborting babies. That's what this convention's about. It's on full display. Just leave aside the roundtable at MSNBC when the speeches are done
and look at the convention for what it is. It's an unmitigated disaster. That's what it is. It's advertising to the world that we are the party of freaks. If you are strange and bizarre and weird and upside down, I mean, just scratch beneath the surface a little bit of the Imhoff family. And then the union of Imhoff and Harris 10 years ago, or the Obamas, or the Bidens. I mean, on and on it goes. I mean, Biden came out with his daughter, the same daughter that wrote the journal, the diary. And we didn't even get into that the other day. There's some serious family dysfunction on display. And it's not like there isn't any on the other side either, but if it's weird and bizarre and upside down and pure evil, they will welcome you into the Democrat tent. If you oppose it, then you're going to be crushed. Even if you come from a long line of traditional Democrats, I mean, RFK is the nephew of John F. Kennedy. They can't welcome him into their party. They want to destroy him. They want to sue him to keep him off ballots in states. They want to shadow ban him. They want to blot him out. Really? RFK? He's not even conservative. Nowhere near it. Same with his VP pick. That's how far left this Marxist infiltration is. They have completely taken over the Democrat Party, and you see it at the convention. And there's more and more Democrats. Look at Tulsi Gabbard. She's out helping Trump prepare for his debate. I mentioned Elon Musk, voted for Obama twice. Zuckerberg praising Trump for his courage, saying, I'm not going to get involved in the election this time around. These are some pretty significant sea changes. And a lot of it's just happening in the last few months. Obama, here he is talking about Donald Trump, among other things. Skip ahead to number 10.
The people who will decide this election are asking a very simple question. Who will fight for me? Who's thinking about my future, about my children's future, about our future together? One thing is for certain, Donald Trump is not losing sleep over that question. Here's a 78-year-old billionaire who has not stopped whining about his problems since he rode down his golden escalator 9 years ago. It has been a constant stream of gripes and grievances that's actually been getting worse now that he's afraid of losing to Kamala. The truth is, Donald Trump sees power as nothing more than it means to his ends. From a guy whose act has, let's face it, gotten pretty stale. We do not need 4 more years of bluster and bumbling and chaos. We have seen that movie before, and we all know that the sequel is usually worse. The other side knows. It's easier to play on people's fears and cynicism, always has been. They will tell you that government is inherently corrupt, that sacrifice and generosity are for suckers. Donald Trump and his well-heeled donors, they don't see the world that way. For them, one group's gains is necessarily another group's loss. For them, freedom means that the powerful can do pretty much what they please, whether it's fire workers trying to organize a union or put poison in our rivers or avoid paying taxes like everybody else has to do.
There he is, talking about Trump being the problem, Trump being negative, Trump being a sequel that's going to be worse than the first installment, Trump being stale. There was a talking head the other day. We played the clip. He's like an aging rock star. You know what? The Obamas
Barack and Michelle Obama are the aging rock stars here. That's what we're witnessing. That's what we're seeing. They have become stale. They have been exposed. They are the ones that people are tired of. I don't want any more Obamanomics. I don't want any more of Obama's worldview, which is basically America last. I want something different. And you know what? We had a 4-year preview, or at least a 3-year preview before the Fauci scaremongering began, of a pretty successful economy together with a pretty secure border. These people have said that the border's more secure right now than it was under Trump. They've been saying this all week. And no, there's no fact checkers on the MSNBC roundtables after the fact to say, hey, that's not true. No, they're there to say, I think this was the best speech in the history of conventions. One more from the dear leader. Skip ahead to 12.
And that's why when we uphold our values, the world's a little brighter. When we don't, the world's a little dimmer. And dictators and autocrats feel emboldened. And over time, we become less safe. We shouldn't be the world's policemen, and we can't eradicate every cruelty and injustice in the world. But America can be and must be a force for good. Discouraging conflict, fighting disease, promoting human rights, protecting the planet from climate change, defending freedom, brokering peace. That's what Kamala Harris believes, and so do most Americans.
Meanwhile, the world's just gone up in flames, especially these past 3 years. One of our news gatherers was watching the speech on the BBC YouTube stream, and there were comments. I mean, you know how it goes. There's thousands of comments just scrolling along during the live chat. Some of the comments regarding the dear leader, who you just saw right there, pure evil, vote for Trump, go Trump, Obama's a bad joke. This is a small sampling, I understand. It's not like we took a survey. But they're just the kinds of comments that you wouldn't have dreamed of seeing back in 2009, when America just gifted him the presidency and within weeks into it awarded him the Nobel Peace Prize of all things. He had done nothing. He had accomplished nothing, and he was already being rewarded as an ambassador for peace. And now, you see, we're far enough in to judge by fruits, just like the Bible says that we should. And look at what those fruits have shown. It's so much so that Don Lemon can walk the streets of Atlantic City and say, who are you voting for? It's got to be Trump. It's got to be Trump. They can't just throw a black person in front of our community and say that we're going to go right along with it. We're actually looking at the policies. How about that? These are ordinary people that are not being swayed by the dark arts like they used to be. They're not quite as inclined to go along with will worship like they used to be. Barack Hussein Obama's power, the spiritual power behind him, is being diminished. That's what we're witnessing. And it's right out of Amos 7. Amos 7 and verse 8 in particular. Jeroboam comes back. He comes back, and we were saying this from the beginning. Go back and get the whole story. This is America under attack. Call our operators. 1-866-930-3024 and request your free copy. This book's been in circulation since 2013, since the very start of Barack Hussein Obama's second term. And it's been a book we've offered 10 plus years since. This is the one show that's not just been saying, hey, Jeroboam, Donald Trump's coming back for sure. We've also been telling you the truth about the dear leader. He's not what everybody assumed he was back in 2009. He's not sending a thrill up as many legs as he did in 2009. He hasn't healed the racial divide in America. He made it much worse. His administration attacked law enforcement. They repeatedly sided with black perpetrators over white police officers. Always, just over and again. And then now he's got his puppet in place. And look at the Afghanistan withdrawal, inflation, the southern border, the Ukraine war. War blows up in Israel. Then you've got this movement in the United States in support of Hamas, of all things. And they're there at the United Center right now. I mean, it's the party of chaos and division. So it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense then for the spokespeople representing this party to stand before you in front of a camera and smile and say, there's just so much joy. There's joy everywhere here. I saw Mika comparing the two conventions, the roll calls. RNC was a little boring. Last night, I mean, the rappers are coming in, they're dancing, they're singing. Look at the difference, says Mika. This is the party of joy. This is the party of fun. Yeah, well, go outside the doors of that arena and see how much joy is spreading on the streets of Chicago. And then take a microphone and a camera and walk from one person to the next and say, I mean, outside of the Antifa circles, and say, you know, who are you voting for? And see what you get. Don Lemon did it. Jesse Waters talked about it. Here's a montage of Michelle. She spoke right before the Dear Leader. And she, as she usually is, angry, anti-American, unappreciative, talking about how her mom taught her that, you know, when you have more than you need, I mean, that shouldn't be the case. This is coming from a girl now, grown. Evidently, she learned this from her mother. And they're just raking in hundreds of millions of dollars. You remember years ago when Obama was talking to Joe the plumber. Yeah, I mean, there comes a point when you've had enough and then you need to share. You need to give your money to people that are disadvantaged. Do the Obamas do that? Do the Clintons do that? Do the Bidens do that? Does Harris do that? What about Imhoff? Oh, Donald Trump, he's a billionaire, that's true. He didn't take one penny in salary while he was president of the United States. So at least there's some fruits there. He gave it back to the Treasury. I mean, I don't even view the Treasury of the United States as an upstanding organization, but at least he gave it back to the country. Listen to Michelle Obama from her speech last evening, clip 13.
The chance to vanquish the demons of fear, division, and hate that have consumed us and continue pursuing the unfinished promise of this great nation. She and my father didn't aspire to be wealthy. In fact, they were suspicious of folks who took more than they needed. Kamala has shown her allegiance to this nation, not by spewing anger and bitterness, but by living a life of service and always pushing the doors of opportunity open to others. She understands that most of us will never be afforded the grace of failing forward. We will never benefit from the affirmative action of generational wealth. If things don't go our way, we don't have the luxury of whining or cheating others to get further ahead. No. We don't get to change the rules so we always win. If we see a mountain in front of us, we don't expect there to be an escalator waiting to take us to the top. We know what comes next. We know folks are going to do everything they can to distort her truth. My husband and I sadly know a little something about this. For years, Donald Trump did everything in his power to try to make people fear us. See, his limited, narrow view of the world made him feel threatened by the existence of two hardworking, highly educated, successful people who happen to be black. No, this is up to us, all of us, to be the solution that we seek. It's up to all of us to be the antidote to the darkness and division. Look, I don't care how you identify politically, whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, or none of the above. This is our time to stand up for what we know in our hearts is right. This election is going to be close. In some states, just a handful, listen to me, a handful of votes in every precinct could decide the winner. So we need to vote in numbers that erase any doubt. We need to overwhelm any effort to suppress us.
Fanning the flames of hate, as per usual, Donald Trump is the racist. He feels threatened by these successful, hardworking black people, Barack and Michelle. Never mind that Trump is successful and hardworking as well. And more black people are saying out loud, I'm voting for Trump. People aren't buying it, are they? The propaganda. They've been hearing this for years. Now you've got a situation where, okay, we saw Obama in power, we saw Trump, and then we saw Obama's puppet. Let's make a simple comparison here. That was an angry speech. That's the one that Rachel Maddow said was just the best ever in history. That one right there. They could say whatever they wanted to, and the regime media would still respond. They are the last of the swooners. It's like the last of the Mohicans, the last of the swoon-hicans, Rachel Maddow and all the other talking heads in the regime media. A lot of other people are waking up. You saw it in the cold open. This is from that Atlantic piece, the one that changed the title, remember? It says, during Donald Trump's crude and shambolic first run for president in 2016, Michelle Obama offered a mission statement for the Democrat Party that doubled as a pithy summary of her family's political project. When they go low, we go high. None of that last night. But the first time around, I mean, the angel of light came out. I mean, they said everything just right. Every once in a while, they would say the quiet part out loud. And you could tell, like, when they would side with the criminal over law enforcement, where their true heart or true intentions were. But for the most part, I mean, for years, when the angel of light spoke, everyone swooned. They couldn't get enough of it. It says here, a decade and a half before that, Barack Obama announced himself as a major figure by declaring at the 2004 Democratic National Convention, there's not a liberal America and a conservative America. There's the United States of America. Remember that? 20 years ago. The angel of light said, look, we're all together in this. We're all one. There's no blue America or red America. It's the United States of America. Nothing like that last night. Neither of those statements seems true today. The country is more divided than it has been in generations, and when Republicans go low, Democrats are willing to be snarky and insult the Republican ticket of Donald Trump and J.D. Vance right back. I mean, you saw it from Obama last night, making that crude joke, that sexual innuendo. He can do it because it was subtle. It was subtle. Okay. He gets away with it. And then the talking heads say it was brilliant. All it says at the, and keep in mind, this is the Atlantic. They hate Trump, but at least they're acknowledging that, yeah, with the Democrats have thrown the gloves off as well. It says at the Democratic National Convention in their hometown of Chicago, the Obamas showed that they too are ready to get their hands dirty, but also that they haven't given up on a rosier vision of what things can be. Mentions his speech was 35 minutes. Further on, it says, the truth is that although the Obamas may not be quite so prim as they were 8 years ago, they aren't getting quite as far down in the muck as Trump. That's the Atlantic. Trump's the problem. He's the one that's just hurling out insults. Not the Obamas. Not Schumer. Not, you know, Mad Maxine. Not Nancy Pelosi. None of them. They would never insult. Please. People see it. They've seen a steady diet of it. They've seen years and years and years of it. They've seen what RFK's VP pick clearly sees now. The lawfare, the shadow banning, the blotting out, the removal from ballots, the assassination attempts on character. In Trump's case, an actual assassination attempt. The overall feeling of the convention has been euphoric. Democrats seem barely able to believe how much better their prospects look now than they did a month ago. But it's all wishful thinking, even for the Atlantic here to say this. Because you've got to factor in fake polls. You've got to factor in that the party of joy and unity, is split apart right now. They're all over the country. They're not even together for their convention. Or if they are coming to it, they're in and then they're out. They flee the scene. You know, much was made of Biden being given a slot on Monday night. Monday night, and of course it was pushed almost to midnight. Obama really wasn't that far behind. I think he started speaking right around 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. But you know, much was made about we need to get Biden in there. He's unpredictable. You know, he's Uncle Joe. And let's get him out. And it's, you know, as far away from Kamala's address on Thursday evening. So he's in and out and gone. Well, the Obamas and Barack is the dear leader. The Obamas are in there Tuesday. And I don't know. I didn't look. But if they're not staying until Thursday night, they're probably gone as well. Maybe we can look into that for tomorrow's show. But again, just coming back to what I was saying at the start, Obama's beginning to sense that this whole house of cards could come tumbling down at any moment. Less than 3 months. Is God going to do it through the election? I mean, we've suggested that somehow it would be primarily through the courts or largely because of the courts. The courts have already, though, given some very favorable rulings for Donald Trump this past summer that have protected him, shielded him from some of the lawfare. And then you look at the head tilt and the teleprompter and looking at the slideshow over to his right when usually he looks to the left. The spiritual power behind the Antiochus, that is being diminished. Meanwhile, you sense that there's spiritual power as well, empowering the end-time Jeroboam. I hope that you'll get America Under Attack if you have not read that book as yet. It'll give you the whole story. Just one final bit here. Well, this is from Real Clear Politics. While more than one delegate was brought to tears by his remarks, Obama was more has more to offer Harris than oratory. He has a political machine. Is busy humming on her behalf. Not only has he given her his blessing, but he has also fundraised on her behalf and so on. Well, it just says that Obama's not just about words. So he gives the speech last night, but he's still heading up the machine. He's not going to go down without a fight. And he's talking now more openly about fighting to the bitter end. And the party that's willing to try to take out their opponent by an assassin's bullet, they, be assured, they are willing to do anything to maintain their grip on power. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again next time.